I would like to start a new series, Perek Shira. You know what Perek Shira is?
I think that was only for women.
No. Only for women? No such thing.
Perek Shira
is something that's very mysterious. We don't even know exactly who wrote it, who put it together. Some say David HaMelech compiled Perek Shira. Some say his son Shlomo HaMelech. Some say Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi compiled. Perek Shir basically is a pasuk attributed to 87, approximately 87 different creatures or parts of creation. The sun, the moon, the frogs, the earth. As we'll go through, there are every part of creation sings to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Perek Shir is divided into six perakim. It's not exactly clear. Okay, we'll see some of the ideas of why they're divided into the different things, why they fall into different sections. But there are basically 87 items in these six chapters. Each one has a very specific pasuk which it expresses in song to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what I like to do, not every day, occasionally, here and there, is to go through Perek Shira and use each one of these items as a springboard to discuss different concepts of Agada and Halacha. Now, we're not going to do an introduction today. Today I want to jump right into the first item in Perek Shira, just to get a little taste of what I want to do. Again, don't worry, I'm not going to do this every day, just every so often to touch upon some ideas. The first item, the lead-off item in Perek Shira is the Shamayim. What is the song of the heaven? So the pasuk says... That's the Shira of Shemayim. Had David HaMelech, one thing is for sure, had David HaMelech had a cell phone, it would have been the ringtone for the cell phone nightmare. The cell phone, it would give us the musical notes you only can download online, only a billion different...
You get that a little loud.
Yes.
Okay. I once heard a real heavy-duty Zionist say that he said Shirim, and he says, in my class, if the cell phone goes off, you're out. You're out of the class. The only exception I'll make is if the cell phone plays Hatikva. Then I'll let you stay in class. All right, in any event, let's begin with the first of the items of Perek Shir, the Shemayim. The song of the Shemayim is HaShemayim Misaprim Kavod Kel U'Maase Yodav Magid Harakia. This is the song of the heavens. It's in Tehillim, Perek Yotes, Pasuk Beis. We say this every Shabbos, part of the Pesuk of the Zimra. The Shemayim is Misaprim the Kavod Kel and the Maase Yodav Magid Harakia. What does this pasuk mean there? So many perushim. I want to try to explain these perushim in relative to Perek Shira and why this is the song of the heavens. So in the process of doing so, I'm trying to bring out a couple of ideas. Let's first begin with the perush of the Malba. Malba is a very beautiful perush which opens up this pasuk, opens up exactly what the heaven is singing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Malba says there are two parts to the pasuk. There is the Shamayim, which we connect with the word Misaprim, and there is the Rakia, which we connect with the word Magid. Now, I want to combine a few ideas together. It's not only the Malbim, there are other ideas that are being put together. By the way, I have so far, for these Shiurim, I have five really good, each one is a gem, which elaborate on the different ideas relating to Perek Shira. So, why is the word Misaprim connect to the word Shemayim? Why is the word Yagid connect to the word Rakia? So the Malam just explains the difference between the word Misaper and the word Magid. On Pesach we have Haggadah. V'igadta levincha b'yom ahu leimor. But there's another word to relate. Misaper. Misaper means to speak, to talk. Sipor Yitzias Mitzrayim. Excellent. So that's very good that you opened up a whole new idea. We have Sipor Yitzias Mitzrayim, and then we have Vihigarta Levincha Bayama Hulema. So how do you differentiate between the concept called Sipor Yitzias Mitzrayim and Vihigarta Levincha Bayama Hulema? How do you differentiate in this passage between this that the Shemayim is Misaper and the Rakia is Magid? So the Malbim says the word Magid means.
Could you differentiate between Shemayim and
Rakia? Oh, we're going to come to that. I'm going to do that. That's what I want to do. After we define these two words, we'll be able to do that. So the Malbim says the word Yagid refers to telling something new, relating new gossip. So, wow, you know what just happened? Hot off the press, breaking news. Haggadah is new insights into things that, or new revelations, things that are new, current. Sibor is to tell over an old story. Let me tell you now something which happened 100 years ago. Old news. So now we can understand when it comes to Sibor Yitzias Mitzrayim, Sibor Yitzias Mitzrayim, we relate what happened to us. The Exodus happened to us thousands of years ago. But when you take the story of the Exodus of Sibor Yitzias Mitzrayim, the Torah says, I don't want you to tell it to your children just an old Baba Maisa, what happened 1,000 years ago. I want you to adapt it and make it current for the new generation. V'higadata levincha b'yomo hu leimar. It's an incredible idea. Take what has happened 3,000 years ago, the Sibor of Yitzias Mitzrayim, and show your children the whole dar v'dar oimdim aleinu l'chalos in HaKadosh Baruch Hu matzir miyadam, and there's a Yitzias Mitzrayim that's happening now. Every single generation and every single generation, every single year, there's a new level, a new exodus that Klal Yisrael experiences. That's the same idea when it comes to where we're going to use those words when it comes to the Shemayim and the Aretz. There are two things. There was Maisa Bereishis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. The world was created in our tradition, Hayalafim, Tav Shin Ayin Gimel, 773 years ago. That's Leprat Katan plus 5,000. Leprat Katan, Tav Shin Ayin Gimel is 773, and we have the Prat Gadol of 5,773. So the Shemayim is being relating, telling Eidos that Hashem created the world. Hashem is the creator. Now, what do the Goyim say? There's a very strong belief among Api Karsin, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world and then said, "See ya, I'm going fishing." That's it. It's all over. You figure out.
He set it up and he checked out.
Exactly. Or Paul, see, you figure out how to deal with this. I'm gone. Hashem is not involved in the current affairs in the Hashkocha Pratis. That is the second part of the Pasuk. The second part of the Pasuk is Uma'aseh Yadav, means what's current. The Hashkocha Pratis, the ongoing involvement of Kadosh Baruch Hu, is Magid Harakia. So the first part of the pasuk is that the heavens are say testimony that, do you know that almost 6,000 years ago HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this world? And the second part of the praise is that the heavens continue to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is currently involved in every single thing that is happening here in this world. Now, to ask your question, Mr. Rapport, why do we connect the word Shema and the word Rukia? So this we need to go to a Gemara Masechta Chagiga. The Gemara Masechta Chagiga says that there are seven heavens, seven Rukiyas. The Gemara first begins by telling us that there are two Rukiyas. There's two, there's Shemayim, and there's the Shemei HaShemayim. And then it goes on to say, no, another opinion, there are seven Rukiyas, and those are, I'm not going to go into the details, it's called the Vilon, is the curtain. Number two is a Rukiya. So Rukiya is not only is it a general term, but it's also one of the seven heavens. Shechokim, Zavul, Ma'on, Machon, and Aravos. Seven different. All of these seven heavens are defined with the word Rukia. Shemayim is a catch-all phrase. Shemayim is a term which incorporates all seven. When you talk about the Rukia, you've got to be very specific. Which specific level in heaven are you referring to? What we see in the sky is one level, and there's where the sun and the moon is, and there are higher levels which are beyond, right, beyond our understanding. But the word Rakia, the way it's used in the Gemara, is a specific section of the larger picture called the Shemayim. So when you take this idea of the Malvim and you connect to these two terms, it makes sense. The Shemayim in its entirety testifies that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. When you look at the big picture of things, the big picture of the Shemayim, which includes seven different levels, seven different sections in heaven, they are giving over testimony that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. But each specific section of heaven is involved, and the Gemara elaborates what exactly each section does, is involved in the current affairs of man on an ongoing basis. One part of heaven is involved in producing parnasa. One part of heaven is involved in ruchnis. One part of heaven is involved in punishment. Every single part of the heaven is involved in current affairs of what is happening actually here on this world to give reward, punishment, and help man get through his stay on this world. So it makes a... What?
Inanimate objects.
That's a general concept of saying Shira. That we'll get to at some point in time. We'll do the Hagdama a little bit. You're touching on a general concept. How do these things involved in saying Shira? These are inanimate objects. Where do we find it actually saying Shira? Okay, we'll come to that at some point in time. But just want to bring out this idea. There are two different sections to this pasuk. There's Shemayim Rokia. Shemayim is connected with the word Mesaper, and Rokia is connected with the word Yagid, Haggadah. These two words, the Malbim opens up a whole new world. Haggadah is new information. Sipur is old information. Someone mentioned that ties very well into Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim verse V'higadta Levincha. You have to have this balance. There was an Exodus, but we have to relate that Exodus to what is happening now in this world, new things which are occurring, which are drawing upon the koach, the power of the original Exodus. When it comes to heaven, we have the same idea. We have the original act of creation that Hashem did almost 6,000 years ago, and then we have an ongoing involvement in this world, which is expressed in the word Magid Yagid Harakia. We associate the ongoing involvement with the word Rakia, because Rakia refers to the specific sections of heaven, which the Gemara Masechet Chagiga tells us are all we are involved in the current affairs of man on this world. Whereas Shemayim, the catch-all term of heaven, we use the general expression of Mesaper, it in its entirety refers to what has happened at the time of creation. This is one idea. What?
How about the horoscope? Not only the current, what about the Asid?
The Asid, we know that we're not going into that. That has not yet happened.
Wouldn't the Shemayim tell you also about
the Asid? Okay, the Shemayim is everything. It's going into the entire scope from all of time. Okay, that's an idea. Okay, let's go to another idea. What's very unique about the lead-off hitter of Perek Shira of the Shemayim, it's the only one of all of the 87 items in Perek Shira that actually tells us its song. So we're going to learn about all the different creatures. What is the song of Gan Eden? So whoever wrote Perek Shira had to search the entire Tanakh, find the pasuk. Oh, this pasuk is the song of Gan Eden. Right? Or we want to talk about the frog. What song does the frog sing? You got to search. In fact, the frog does not have a pasuk from Chumash or from Tanakh. This frog has a Mayim Chazal, Baruch Shem from Achusel Yolam Vuet. But you have to find an expression. You have to make a shidduch. The only one that actually tells us what their song is the Shemayim. The Shemayim Hashemayim Misaprim Kivod Kel. It speaks the Kivod Kel, the honor of a Kel. Umaseyodov Magid Harakia. This is very unique. From the 87 items that we're going to learn, the only one that steps up to the plate and tells us that yes, we speak, we sing Shira, we actually talk. We don't just sit around and do nothing. We sing Shira is the Shemayim. That's the most unique of all the 87 items. None of the other 86 tell us what they say. They don't talk. We have to put words in their mouth. But the Shemayim actually communicates and says that it does indeed speak. That, I think, was something very interesting to look at, the Shemayim relative to all the other creatures, all the other items in Perek Shira. Another just cute little thing which is not related is that the Shemayim has a peh, has a heart, and has ears. In this pasuk it says, HaShemayim Mesaprim. It talks. It talks, you have to have a mouth. The heaven has a heart. Where do we find the heaven has a heart? V'hahar bo'er bo'esh ad lev HaShemayim. The heavens have ears. Ha'azinu ha'shamayim ba'adabera. Listen. So it's very interesting that from all the creatures, we know for a fact that the heaven has a mouth, heaven has a heart, the heaven has ears. What the significance is, I do not know, but it's definitely something which is very interesting. So let's.
It's not poetic license.
What?
It's not poetic license.
Yes and no. Yes and no. It is, but it's not. Perek Shira is obviously telling us something a lot more than poetry.
It's,
yeah, I can't understand, but you do find, you do find, yeah, you're right, right.
Because he was motion was more in the heavens, and the shine was still up there.
No, but that's the voice was poetic license, the motion was saying they last forever, and kind of be around.
Okay, let's go to another. Another, the one thing I left out, just to give you just a tie, what we said in the beginning, the difference between Magid and Sipor, we have a very popular pasuk that we say every single day in davening, in Ashrei, Tzadik Hashem b'chol derachav v'chassid b'chol ma'asav. So I believe the Mepharshim may connect this pasuk, b'chol derachav v'chol ma'asav, to what we've just said here about Hashemayim Mesarim Klod Kelmasi Levan Erukiah. This, what's the difference between Hashem's derech and Hashem's Maisim? We've just shown that Maisim, Umase Yodav Magid Harikir, once we've shown the word Magid means something new, something current, automatically that reveals that Maase Yodav means current, not something which Hashem did 6,000 years. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved in the daily activities of this world, daily happenings of this world. In Ashrei, when we say that Hashem is a tzaddik b'chol derachav, then there are two parts, b'chol derachav, and he's v'chassid b'chol ma'asav. Ma'asav means in everything that Hashem does now. B'chol derachav are the derech of Hashem, are things that Hashem has done in the past. So when we are mastic HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we recognize you were perfect in the past, when you created the world, and things that you've created and done in the past, Tzadik Hashem, b'chol derachav, your derech is perfect. V'chassid, and what you do currently, now, today, the events that are unfolding in front of our eyes, you deal with us more than we deserve. Chassid always means, lefnim mishur sadin, b'chol ma'asav. The same way we have Haggad and Sipur, old verse, new. This is a common theme which you can put into many psukim, old versus new. Tzadik Hashem b'chol derachav is the old, the chassid b'chol ma'asav is in the new. Yeah.
I think it was in the Gemara. Tzadik, I think it was Rav, said tzadik means midas hadin.
Yeah.
Chassid means midas harachim.
Okay, but what do you have? So what do you have in the harachim? This possible chassid? Okay, there's another idea. Okay, okay, there are many ideas. I am panim l'tor. There are many ideas. All right, you're saying very good. It's another approach. There's midas hadin, midas harachim, like a mishalik, midas hadin. Hashem is a chassid, midas harachim. Absolutely, there are many different interpretations of this of the pasuk. Okay, let's go to another idea. There's a machloikis, a very big machloikis in Masechta Chagiga. It's in the same daf, daf Yudbeis Amid Aleph, between Beis Shammai. It's a three-way machloikis. This is a soyedistik machloikis. This is what Perek Shu is very good. It brings out. You can use it as a springboard to discuss a whole variety of topics in Agada and Halacha. There's a machlokes in Masechta Chagiga, Daf Yudbeis, Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, and Rabbanan. What did Hashem create first? Did Hashem create the Shemayim first, or did Hashem create the earth first? Beis Shammai says Hashem created the Shemayim first. Pasuk Bereishis Bara Elokim Eis Hashamayim V'Eis Haaretz. Ferish a pasuk. Beis Hillel says, no, I have another pasuk. I'll match it. B'yom Asos Hashem Elokim Eretz V'Shamayim. Hashem made first the Eretz and then the Shamayim. So Beis Hillel disagrees. Hashem made the earth first. The Chacham say Hashem made them both at the same time. Okay. Now, then the Gemara continues, Beis Shammai says to Beis Hillel, Beis Hillel says to Beis Shammai, we know that the Shemaim is called the attic. Okay, I don't have all the psukim in front of me, you have to look at the Gemara in Chagiga, your base. The heaven is called the attic, and the earth is called the bias. Does it make sense that you first build an attic, and then you build the bias? You build first the lower story, then you build the attic. Beis Hillel says, Beis Shammai says back to Beis Hillel, we know that the heaven is called Hashem's kiseh, Hashem's throne, and the earth is called Hashem's footstool. What does a carpenter build first? The footstool or the chair? You first build the chair, then you build the footstool. It's more likely that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the heaven, because the heaven is the place of Hashem's throne, the kiseh HaKavod, and then Hashem created the footstool, which is the earth. So you can go back and forth. We have this disagreement between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, both in Sukkim, both in concept of what came first. And there's a famous Rambam. There's a Rambam, and there's the Rishon. This is one of the reasons why the Rambam's sermon were burnt. I should say that. The story of 1412-42, the terrible tragedy of the burning of the Talmud, was viewed as a punishment for the burning of the Rambam's work. It was the ashes of the Talmud, that horrible tragedy in 1412-42. The Maram Meramer was sent, Kinnis and Tisha B'Av, Ashali Suf Ba'esh, happened 40 days after the Rambam's works were burnt in the same location in the town square in front of the cathedral in Paris. They burned the Mor Nevuchim. Why they burned the Mor Nevuchim? It's too much philosophy. Chochmas Chitzonius. One of the things, the shocking things the Rambam said is that the earth and man are not the center of the universe. Don't think that the heavens, the only look you look in the heavens, you see all the planets, the Milky Way, the universe, the galaxy, it's all created to serve the earth, to serve man. No. The Rambam says they have their own purpose. There is our heavens, there are planets, there are solar systems, there's a whole world, there are worlds out there. Hashem created them for His purpose, for their purpose. Man also happens to have some purpose. There's a planet Earth, and on planet Earth is a human being. Okay, human being is great, he can reach the highest levels of Kedusha, Nevuah, and so on and so forth, but don't think everything out there in the world was created for the purpose of man. Rambam says this. Many, many Rishonim attack the Rambam. How can you say that? The center of creation, the purpose of creation is man. Everything you see in the heavens, all the planets are all here to serve Earth, and specifically to serve the human being that lives on this Earth. It's Machlokes the Rambam and the other Rishonim, is man the center of the universe? Along comes Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach, Zechet Tzadik Levracha, and he says that the Machlokes between the Rambam and all of his contemporaries who disagree with him is the Machlokes Beis Shammai parallels Machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. Did Hashem create the earth first, or did Hashem create the heavens first? If we learn that Hashem created the earth first, that means the earth is the ikar, it's the primary, this is what counts, and that means the heavens were only created as a support system for man. Man was created, man needs a support system, so Hashem created everything else to support man. That's the opinion of everyone who disagrees with the Rambam. The Rambam is following the sheet of Beis Shammai. Hashem created the Shemayim. The Shemayim is much larger than anything that we can imagine. That, and it has its own purpose. No, Hashem also wanted to create man. Hashem created the earth and man, and that came second. So he wants to show that the Machlokes, the Rambam, and his Bar Plukta is the Machlokes from Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Now, there's no way to be Mavara, who's right, who's wrong. Now, why are we bringing this up? Because a lot of the Sfarim which discuss Perek Shira, they're very fascinated, is that the lead off hitter in Perek Shira is Shammayim. What is the song of heaven? What's the second item on the list in Perek Shira? The earth. The next thing we'll do, Mir Tzashem, will be, what is the song of the earth? Why? Why did the author, the composer of Perek Shira, put the heaven first and the earth second? It should be the earth comes first and the second. It must be the Tana. Maybe it was David. Maybe it was Shlomo Melech. Maybe it was Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi. Hell like Beis Shammai. that, like the Rambam, that the heaven is had its own purpose and it deserves to have its song lead off Perek Shira.
So,
okay, that's the plus. In Echnam, that puzzle doesn't tell us which came first. It just says that the heavens and man does not have control over the heavens. There's a Shemaim, there's an Aretz. Hashem is in Shemaim. It doesn't tell us necessarily which was created. The two psukim that we presented tell us creation. Bereishis bara, creation. Bara Elokim, Es HaShemaim V'Es Aretz. According to the Targum, at least, not according to Rashi. Bar means in the beginning, Hashem created the heaven and the earth. But according to the other pasuk, Biyoim Asois. Asois means to do. Asois Hashem Elokim Eretz Vishamayim. So that indicates that the earth came first. These are the two very powerful psukim which Bisham makes clear and present. And then they go on to give Mishalim and why they're right.
In other words, God created everything for the purpose of mankind.
But everything on the earth.
Yeah,
but what about the heavens? Okay, then you can play around with it in many different ways.
They use that then. One of the psukim
So it's a very interesting observation. It's a fascinating observation when you have this philosophical discussion about what came first. If you want to add to the conversation, if you ever go to someone's house Friday night and they're talking about this very, it's a very philosophical, I'm sure in colleges, in secular colleges, they talk about this. It's like you're going back to Talmud. If you want to go use like a classic, a Gemara to discuss the brilliance of the Talmud. You know, this is a classic Gemara. B'Shamay, B'Es Hillel, the Rabbanon, Psukim, Mishalim. There's a lot going on in the Gemara, a lot of Mefarshim. You get the Rambam involved, all these things. If you want to really spice up the conversation, you tell them, Perek Shira. Perek Shira is sacred. It's absolutely sacred. That's why today it's a multi-million dollar business. It's sacred. Perek Shira. And it indicates that the Shemayim came first. So along comes some of the Mefarshim. I don't know, can't remember all the names. As we go through this now, get better with the names and tell you who says what, who's who in Perek Shira. But until we get to that point, they come along and they say a very beautiful idea. Don't get so carried away. Don't bring a riot from Perek Shira, because the truth is the Rabbanon, to a certain degree, come along and they say, Elu v'elu divrei Elokim chayim. Now let's give an example to elaborate. When was the world created? Was the world created Tishrei? Hayoim haras olam. We learned yesterday in Tuba of, it's the baskol from the creation of the world, the Tav Heel. Really? That's when the world was created, but wasn't the world created in Nisan? Nisan, the spring, that's the time the world was created. So the answer is the Machlaikis, Rabbi Eliezer, and Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Eliezer says it was created in Tishrei, and Rabbi Yeshua says it was created in Nisan. Along comes Chazal, I don't know who says this. Elu v'elu, divrei Elokim chayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu thought, b'machshava, he conceived of the idea, the plan, the blueprints were laid out in Tishrei, Haras. Haras Ola means pregnancy, the developed conception. But in actuality, the world came into the plan was implemented, the delivery came on in Nisan. What's the significance? What's the difference between Machshava and Maisa? Machshava represents something more spiritual, more lofty. Halacha l'maisa, you got to be practical. You have to get your hands dirty. You got to get to work. It's the same when you're dealing with Perek Shira. It's about song. It's about praise. It's about matters of spirituality. In matters of spirituality, which relate to the mind, which relate to machshava, then Shemayim goes first. Just because over here we're ordering the Shemayim and the Aretz. You have to understand we're ordering the Shemayim and the Aretz relative against a backdrop of giving praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and singing song to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. These are spiritual matters. In the world of spirituality, the Shemayim came first. In the laws of physics, Gashmius, the earth, in order to come, like think about it, when a child is born, in order when a child, before a child becomes a Rashiva, you become a prophet, you first have to be conceived in the physical world, and develop and eat and drink and grow and become a physical human being. And then you can begin to explore the spiritual world and come to an exalted state of spirituality, and your neshama, your body can go up to Shemayim like Mr. Shelach and like Eliyahu and Elisha. But you gotta start off as a physical human being, and Adam Gashmi. So when it comes to Gashmius, the Aretz comes first. When it comes to matters of spirituality, then Ruchnius comes first. So when you want to go, when you look at Perek Shira, it's true. You have over here the Shemayim V'aretz, but against the backdrop of Shira, we focus on Shemayim before we focus on Aretz. That's an answer to explain why it's not necessarily a riot. Okay, let me just tell you one other quick thing before we wrap it up for the Shemayim V'aretz. This pasuk of Shemayim Asam Klodkel is interpreted as a Musar to the danger of hergel, of getting used to things. A person is inspired by change. The Shemayim does amazing things. The sun rises in the east, sets in the west. We know that what happens, the whole movement of the heavenly bodies is amazing. It's not, that itself is a form of shiur. The problem is, we're so used to it. And we're so used to something, it doesn't make an impression upon us. So some of the Mepharshim want to learn a beautiful parish in the pasuk of this pasuk to bring out that idea. Hashamayim misaprim kavod kel. The heavens speak of the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just the nature of the heavens by the heavenly movements, Umasa Yadav, Magid Harakia, and the works of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The different translation, I'm going to be translating in a very, very simple way. And the works of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the heavens relate through their movements, through their existence. However, the problem is, Yom Liyom Yabia Oimer. They sing the same praise every single day. Day to day. Yabia means to express. Omer words. Every single day, the sun rises in the east and it sets in the west. It moves in a certain predictable pattern. Every day it changes, the constellation changes, but if you're a scientist and you study the heavenly sphere, you can understand, you can learn the pattern. And the pattern is predictable. And this goes on, Yom Liyom, Yabi Omer. They give forth words of praise as they go about their business. Delilah, Lelilah, Yichavadas. And evening to evening, every single night, Yichav also means to speak words of knowledge. It's the same idea. And because it's predictable, and it's always the same thing, day after day, night after night, What happens? Ein Omer ve'ein Devarim. It does make an impression upon us. When you walk outside in the street, you don't say, wow. We don't say anything. We do not say words. We do not give forth Devarim. Beli Nishma Kolam. Our voice is not heard. We do not learn. We are not inspired from the movements of the heaven. Let me take a step back. I did not explain this correctly, because let me tell you first the pashtra on the pasuk. The simple interpretation of the pasuk is that yom liyom yabim v'layla l'layla yichavedoas, the heavens speak through their actions. They do not need to give forth words. You're touching upon this. It's not that the heavens actually speak. We never heard the heavens say, Kadosh, 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 Baruch Kvod Hashem Emukam. We don't hear the heavens actually saying words. But just the fact that the heavens are perfect, they perform their function, they move, the sun rises, the sun sets, the moon wanes and waxes, just the fact that they function with such utter perfection, they are alive, that is the ultimate expression of praise.
Speaks
volumes, speaks everything. So it says, Yom Liyom, the fact that one day flows into the next day, that itself is Yabia, is an expression of Omer. Just the fact that the Laila Lalaila, that we go from one night to another night, itself is an expression Yechaveh Doas. Ein Omer ve'ein Devar. They don't need to actually say the words Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Beli Nishma Kolam. You don't need to hear words. And that's a very powerful Musar, that's the Pashup Shah on the Pasik. And that Pashup Shah on the Pasik is a very powerful Musar of the way to teach. We discussed this many times, Meshach Chochma. The way to teach is by example. The way you teach a child to give tzedakah is not by telling the child, here's a quarter, and you take the quarter, put the quarter in the pushka. The way the child learns to give tzedakah is that you give the tzedakah, you put the quarter in the pushka, and make sure that your child sees that you do this. Because now when your child gets older, he will take his own quarter and put it in the pushka. If you tell the child, here, here's a quarter, put the quarter in the pushka, then when he'll get older, he'll tell his child to put the quarter in the pushka. The ultimate chinuch is by example. If you want to teach someone that learning to learn, you learn. Mimela, your children will see that you learn, they will also learn. It's by example. That's exactly what the pasuk says. Ein omer ve'ein devarim, b'li nishma kolam. They don't need to say the words kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. Just watching them by example, watching the earth, watching the heavenly sphere do its mission, do its job with such perfection, that by example is the ultimate praise that they give. And we should learn from their example to follow in this, to follow in doing our role, our tafkid with perfection. That is the pashup shot. But the musr of the pasuk is that that unfortunately we learn to take things for granted. When people do for us favors again and again, we get used to it and we don't appreciate the kindness. And because it's liyom liyom yabia omer v'layla l'layla yichave do'as, pasuk dalet now turns into musr. We get used to it. And we're not impressed because this is what happens every single day. So we become thick and stubborn. And this is the Musar, Ein Omer, we have nothing to say. We're not impressed. This is what you did yesterday and what you did before. V'ein Devarim, we don't have Devarim. B'li Nishma Kolam, we have nothing what to say. That's a terrible tragedy. That's a terrible tragedy that we should be impressed with the perfection and the cycle of the Shemesh Levana and of the entire of the heavenly spheres. Okay, so those are just some ideas just to lead off, to open up into Perek Shira. That concludes the Shamayim and the Rakia. And next time we'll do this, we'll do the Oretz, the earth.